well. Thank you. Thank you for worshiping the Lord. Thank you for joining us today by way of the internet. We appreciate that. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning. If you've learned anything about me, it is that I don't get too far away from just the basic gospel. Amen. I stay pretty close to that because I think that that is what is absolutely the most important topic that we have is just the basic gospel. Listen, turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 5. My message title, if you're a note taker, is Basics of Christian Character. Basics of Christian Character. Romans chapter 5, we'll get to it in just a minute, I promise. But I want you to know this morning here that Paul is introducing some somewhat difficult concepts in this chapter. Paul, as the apostle, was his role, his job, his calling was to build churches. That's what apostles do. They plant churches, they establish churches, they build churches on the foundation of the gospel, and through that, Paul introduces some difficult concepts in this chapter, and as well as to the Roman church. He demonstrates the truth of the gospel in ways that will stretch your thinking. Glory to God. Listen, church, we need our thinking stretched. Amen? Have you ever seen a rubber band laying on a table? Huh? It's just limp, right? See, as a rubber band, when a rubber band is laying on a tabletop, it's really not fulfilling its purpose. A rubber band really ain't no good until what? Until it's stretched. When you stretch a rubber band, it becomes effective because when you release it, it contains what you've stretched it over. And I think this morning, God wants to stretch our minds by His Holy Spirit so that when it's released, it will contain and retain the things that God wants us to get this morning. So He's demonstrating this in a way to stretch our thinking. So to begin to understand the next four chapters, it helps to keep in mind the two-sided reality of the Christian life. On the one hand, we are complete in Christ. Our acceptance of Him is pure. On the other hand, we are growing in Christ and we ought to be becoming more and more like Him. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Listen, at the same time, we have the status of kings, yet we have the duties of slaves. Amen? We feel, church, both the presence of Christ and yet the pressures of sin. Did you hear that? We feel the presence of Christ, but yet the pressure of sin. Can I tell you something? The enemy is real, and he is relentless. If you're going to walk with Jesus, if your life is going to be completely established in Christ Jesus, you're going to have to persevere. Hello. Do you know what my definition of perseverance is? I'll do the preaching. What is it? Perseverance is like wrestling with a gorilla. You don't quit when you get tired. You quit when the gorilla gets tired. And you better hang on for the fight or you're going to be lunch. We feel both the pressure or the presence of Christ and the pressure of sin. We enjoy the peace that comes from being made right with God, but we still face daily problems that that come our way to help us grow. When I was praying, and I was talking about and praying about the way we worship and what happens in worship, if you remember what I said, Lord is breaking up the fallow ground of our heart. Do you know what fallow ground is? The topsoil is not fallow ground. The topsoil is what gets worked all the time. The fallow ground is underneath the topsoil, and it becomes very hard. And the water and the minerals and the nutrients and all that kind of stuff and oxygen don't flow through it. So you've got to get what we call, in the farming industry, we call it a subsoiler. And it's a great big tooth. And you just bury that thing in the ground about 4 feet, and you start ripping up the fallow ground. And it allows the nutrients and the water and the oxygen to get down below there and produces a better crop. God, break up the fallow ground of our hearts. Help us to grow. If we remember these two sides of the Christian life, we will not grow discouraged as we face temptations and problems. Anybody in this place besides the preacher dealing with and battling with temptations and problems? Listen, fight. Fight. Amen? Fight for it. We will learn to depend on the power that is available to us from Christ if we Instead, we will learn to depend on the power available to us from Christ who lives in us by His Holy Spirit. He goes everywhere we go. He does everything that we do because He lives in us. We are the tent of dwelling for the Holy Spirit. Amen? Father, I need Your touch today as we look at Your Word. God, I'm asking You today, God, to minister to me, minister through me by Your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that You would that I would think Your thoughts today. God, fill my mind with Your thoughts. Fill my ears with Your still small voice. My mouth with Your words, Lord God. Lord, let out of this belly flow rivers of living water as I declare Your word to Your people today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Stand with me this morning as we read God's word starting in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, why do we have the word therefore? Anytime you're reading Scripture, the word therefore means that what you're about to read is there for a reason. Amen? It sounds kind of simple, but it's the truth. Therefore, having been justified by faith. What is justified? Just as if it never happened. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God, would You add Your blessing to the reading of Your word today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and sat down. Hallelujah. Glory. Pray for me. My wife is gone to Wisconsin. She's going to be gone for about 3 weeks. She's helping my son and my daughter-in-law back there, I'm back in it again. No, I'm not. But God said in His Word, and I quote, "It is not good for man to be alone." That's what He said, and He said it for a reason. Because left to our own demise, we can get in a world of trouble. Amen? Pray for me. That's all I'm saying. Just pray for me. So with the word therefore in verse 1, Paul begins to indicate a conclusion based upon a previous argument. And so because if you go back and read in chapter 4, Paul begins to show how sinners, both Jews and Gentiles, are justified by faith. And I found out that the Chamula culture of southern Mexico, they don't have a single word in their language for faith. They don't have a single word in their language for faith. The reality is, when the translators discovered a phrase to accurately convey the meaning, they crossed a major hurdle in translating the Word of God for this people group. And so for the Shemulis people, faith is taking seriously what God has obligated Himself to do. Think about that. Faith in their culture, in their language, when they're thinking about faith, they define it as taking seriously what God has obligated Himself to do. Like, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse you from all unright. By faith they do that, and by doing that they're seriously taking what God obligated Himself to do that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him would not perish. God obligated Himself. And so by faith we are saved. So bringing their insight back into English, we can deepen our understanding of faith through this other language. And in this way, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 can be paraphrased this way. Therefore, since we have been justified through taking seriously what God has obligated Himself to do, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but that makes that verse come to life. Amen. I mean, all of a sudden, I can grasp what they're talking about. Paul begins to describe here how justification affects our relationship with God. We can't understand, I don't think, oftentimes, exactly what justification means. We understand technically, I guess, what it means. Justified means it's just as if it didn't happen. But then we start thinking about it, and we think about how righteous and how holy God is, and how bad we can be from time to time, and all of a sudden it starts to get muddled. Because I'm a pretty smart feller. And because of that, I know that what I've done is pretty bad. Amen? And so we begin to rationalize some things out. And we're like, there's no way. Yes, there is a way. Because God has obligated Himself to do this thing. And so Paul is describing just how justification affects our relationship with God. First of all, there is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Can I just tell you this morning? Let me clear this up for you. He ain't mad at you. God is not mad at you. No matter how badly you've blown it, He's not ticked off at you. He's not like, oh, what in the world do they want now? That's never His intention. That's never His mindset. Hebrews 4:16, I hit on it a little earlier. Hebrews 4:16 says, we can therefore come boldly into the presence of God, into the throne room of God, and obtain grace and mercy in our time of trouble. Listen, that's not like, well, I tell you what, I sure hope God lets me in there. Hope I can come in there. Hope He's not busy. I hope He's got time for me. Nope, that's not what it says. Because when
go boldly into the throne room of God. You barge right through the door, kick it.
God, I'm here and I need some help and I need it right now. Amen. I mean, here I am. I've got trouble up to here and I'm going to go down if you don't help me out. And he's not like, I ain't got time for you. That is not the God that I serve. He's got time to listen to you. He wants to hear what you have to say. Listen, peace anticipates Paul's claim that we have been reconciled with God. Peace means that there is no more hostility between us and God. There's no sin blocking our relationship with Him. And more than that, as if that ain't enough. More than that, there is a new relationship that has been established. Amen? I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Don't get mad at me. He ain't done with this work of art. I am a work in progress. Peace with God is only possible, church, through Jesus Christ. Because of on the cross, He met the condition required for peace. So not only was the punishment that was the punishment that brought us peace borne by Him on the cross, but He also fully lived up to His given title in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, that He is to be the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ never creates chaos in your life. He never comes in to just stir you up. Unless it's stirring you up through the unction of His Holy Spirit to compel you and to move you into a place of service for Him. Look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. But He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Charles, be healed in the name of Jesus. I found some stuff about this verse, and I think it's going to help you. The first word that I want us to look at is wound. The definition that I found for wound is to wound, to bore or to slay or to pierce. And it refers to the piercing of His hands and His feet and His side. The word bruise is from the Hebrew daka, and it means to crumble. It means to beat to pieces. It means to break or to bruise or to crush or to destroy or smite. It refers to the stripes by scourging. It talks about the cuts by the thorns and the other physical sufferings, and proves this was part of the work of atonement by which the blood was shed. These pictures, every time I talk about this stuff, I get mental pictures in my mind of what some artist's rendition of what Christ looked like after He was beaten. And they ain't got it right. He don't just have a few little stripes on Him. He doesn't just have a few little trickles of blood coming down His face from the crown of thorns that they so gently placed on His head. They didn't place it on there. They jammed it down around His ear. That is a crown made of Judean thorns. And I promise you, they are hard as nails and sharp as a hypodermic needle. I set that on my head gently, and it made me bleed. They are sharp. See, it was by this particular phase of punishment that physical healing was provided for all of us. He did not sin. There was no sin. He was the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. So any needed correction was ours. He bore that punishment for us. He did not deserve any of it. We all sinned and were estranged from God. And so God, according to John 3:16, sent His only Son to be chastised in our place in order that we might be reconciled and have peace with our Maker again. Any bookkeepers in here? Financial, numerical kind of bookkeeper kind of people? You know, like accountants or whatnot? Anybody? Okay, thanks. What does it mean? What do you do when you reconcile the books? I'm not an accountant. All I know is I have a hard time accounting for the money that's all I know about it. But an accountant, if I understand it correctly, will take a bunch of bills and invoices and those kinds of things and take money out of the checking account and pay all the bills and the invoices and all that, send it all out. And then at the end of the day, she takes the money that she spent and compares it to what she took out. And at the end of the day, everything down here in the lower right-hand corner is right. Everything's reconciled. It's exactly what Jesus Christ did. We were sinners. Narrows it right down. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Doesn't say some did more and some did less. It says all have sinned, period. Flat blanket thing. Christ died and shed His blood and gave His life a ransom to reconcile us, to make the bottom line even. He reconciled us. And because of what He did, we can have peace with our Maker. So what was necessary to reconcile God and man was placed upon Christ. I'm trying to teach you something today. It was placed on Christ to make peace again between us. That's what the ministry of the church ought to be, the ministry of reconciliation. The taking and giving our testimony and our witness to those that are in our sphere of influence, and that we will be able to convince them, or by the power of the Holy Spirit and by what we've said, that they would be reconciled by God through Christ. That's the job of the church. The Hebrew word Rapha means to mend. It means to mend, to cure, to heal, to repair, to make whole. How many of you know one of His names is Jehovah Rapha? My healer. Woo! It has no reference to spiritual healing. We're not talking about spiritual healing. We're talking about physical healing. There are at least 14 Hebrew and Greek words found in scores of passages, which I haven't got time to mess with here this morning, that plainly teach physical soundness, healing, health, preservation, salvation, and deliverance. It all is under the umbrella of this word Rapha. Sometimes one of these words is used in the same passage of both body and soul, providing and proving that it is not limited to the spiritual part of man. This word again in Hebrew, Rapha, is translated to cure, to make whole, to heal. Healed, healeth, thoroughly healed, thoroughly healed. I mean, I'm trying to help you get the point. Thoroughly healed. Not just a little bit healed. Talking about thoroughly healed. It even goes so far as to make reference to the physician. So in chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2 back in our text, Paul is expressing three parallels through, though not identical, thoughts. Three parallels through, though they're not identical thoughts, but this, listen to what it says. We are justified by faith. We have peace through Christ. And it's through whom access, we have access into this kind of grace. So the relationship, church, that is created in Jesus Christ between us and God is wonderful, yet complex, yet is very simple. So not only has Christ justified and reconciled us to God, but He has also given us personal access to God. Aren't you glad today that you don't have to come back in here on Thursday? Stand outside that door, and I'll be on the inside listening with my ear to the door. Have you tell me all the mess you've done this week and expect me to remember it and confess it for you? That dog won't hurt. I can't do that. I'm not that good. I'll have forgot what you started telling me before you finished telling me. It's your job. It's your privilege. It's your responsibility to confess your sins to God. I don't need to know about it. Paul understood the meaning of suffering for the faith. The key was that he learned to rejoice because he knew that suffering produces perseverance, which is the ability to face difficulties without giving in. There is, however, a progression that begins with suffering and ends with character. Suffering is like the pressure that is put on carbon to produce a diamond. As you and I persevere, we're being formed and molded on the inside. God is producing His character within us. Ever get hot in your life? You ever have some of the nasty stuff float to the surface? It's called dross. And I think God allows the pressures of life to come up and the fire to get turned up underneath of us, not to burn us, but to cause the dross to come to the top so that He can wipe the dross off and see His reflection inside of us. I can remember sitting in the kitchen when I was just a young man, just a boy. My dad and I shot muzzleloaders a lot. And we would melt down batteries and anything we could find that was lead. And we had an old wood cook stove in our house. And we'd melt it right there in the kitchen, in the cook stove. And it'd get all nasty looking on top. And my dad would take a stick. It always fascinated me that the stick never burnt. That still fascinates me. And he would scrape all the dross, all the impurities off the top. And throw them in the trash. And then it looked just like my favorite color, chrome. Hallelujah. That's what God wants to do for us. He allows things to get turned up underneath of us. Listen, if you didn't have any problem in your life, you wouldn't pray.
That's good.
That was a $10 little dibby I just gave you right there. We wouldn't. You want to know something else? If you knew the day and the hour that Jesus Christ was coming back, you'd live like hell until about a day before. You know why? Because that's our nature. That's our nature. That's why we need a new nature. That's why when the problems and the pressures of life and the heat gets underneath of us, it's because God is trying to get His character inside of us. God wants to produce His character in us. And the end result of this chain reaction is hope. We have a confidence that God is in control and will see us through. I cannot tell you how many times folks have called me and said, I just can't take anymore. I know God said in His Word that He won't give me any more than what I can handle, but I can't handle any more. And you know what? Those same people are still alive today. Because you know what? God won't allow more to come on you than what you can take. He said so, but through that process, we have to trust Him. His work in us now, He's working in us to conform us to the likeness of His Son. And it gives us a glimpse of the wonderful things that He has in store for us in the future. And when our hope is in God, we are absolutely assured that He will fulfill all that He promised. And we will be, in fact, resurrected to eternal life. And we will be with Him in glory forever. Glory to God. Woo! Amen? I mean, that's the hope that we have. It ain't some fairy tale. It is not some fairy tale. I have read enough of God's Word to know what hell's going to be like, and I want no part of it. I mean, it talks about the gnashing of teeth. It talks about being eaten by bugs and by worms constantly, yet never being consumed. Burnt with fire, but never burnt up. Talks about darkness, gnashing of teeth, screaming, wailing, all that kind of stuff. But you know what? None of that amounts to a hill of beans. When you compare that to the fact that all hell really is a place outside beyond the presence of God. God's not going to be there. And if God ain't there, I don't want to be there. The very fact that God ain't going to be there makes it hell. I don't want no part of that. I don't want no part of that. Listen, heaven is going to have golden streets. That's cool. There's a river it talks about flowing from the throne of God. That's pretty cool. Hey, I'll do the preaching. It talks about gates made of pearl. Talks about no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there, no more tears to dim the eye, no more clouds in the sky. But you know what? That ain't what makes heaven cool. What makes heaven cool is that God's going to be there. And we never have to be away from Him ever again. And the devil ain't there. He's been dealt with. Where am I at? Any idea? Because I don't. Okay. So, when our hope is in God, we are assured that He will fulfill all that He promised. When we were resurrected in newness, in eternal life with Him, and to be with Him in glory. It is the Holy Spirit, church, that has filled our hearts with the love of God and who continues to encourage us as we hope in God. Can I tell you something? I don't give a rip how bad your life has been. If you're still sucking air, it ain't too late for you. It is not too late. Somebody might have told you it was too late, but I supersede what that guy or girl said. It ain't too late as long as you're on top of the dirt. Amen? I'm just trying to help you this morning. He has filled our heart with God's love and continues to encourage us as we hope in God. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, God anointed us and set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our heart as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. I've raised cattle in my life, and when you want somebody to know that that's your cow, you heat up a Brandon iron and you tie him and you put him on the ground and you put your mark on him, and that mark don't wash off. You and I have that mark on us by the Holy Spirit of God. You have been marked. This one's mine. One of the girls in our worship team when we were in Utah sings a song, maybe you've heard it, Spoken For. Talks about that I'm spoken for. I'm not available anymore. I've been spoken for by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm taken. I've been branded. I've been marked. I've got an engagement ring on my finger. The great comfort and power that the Holy Spirit gives us in this life is a foretaste. It's like a down payment, maybe a first installment of all the benefits that eternal life has for us in the presence of God. And with the privilege of belonging to God comes the responsibility, church, of identifying ourselves as His followers. See how quiet that got? When I'm shouting and jumping around, but when I start laying down, listen, this is heavy stuff. It is a privilege to belong to God, but it comes with a responsibility. It's identifying ourselves as His faithful servants. Can I just tell you something? God don't have no undercover servants. He don't have there's no secret service in the army of God. Don't be ashamed to let others know that you're His. I finally mustered up the courage to tell my employers that at the end of this month, I will no longer be in their employ. And they said, we've seen that coming for a while now. And they ain't church-going folk. My prayer is that they will be. I guarantee you. Don't be ashamed to let others know that you're His. I talk about this church all the time on the radio, so they have to hear about it. I talk about what God does in this house all the time on the radio, so they have to hear it. I can't preach to them, but they will listen. They have to hear. I even went so far as to go and have my CB radio pumped up so that it was louder and would reach farther to make sure everybody heard it. Didn't I, John? I ain't even kidding for a second. And when I meet my brother truckers on the radio, on the road, we refer to each other more often than not as brother. How you doing? God bless you. Hope you have a blessed day. Everybody within 5 miles has to hear us. Our expectation that God will keep His promise, church, will never disappoint us. When our trust is in God, we are absolutely assured that He will fulfill all that He promised. We will be resurrected to eternal life, and we will be with Him in all of His glory. Why? Because He has already given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. That's what He did. That's the seal. That's the mark. The Holy Spirit continues to encourage us, reminding us how dearly God loves us. You ever blow it so bad you think, man, there's no way, I can't, I'm just done. The Holy Spirit's like, still here. still here, waiting for you to repent. You ever not felt worthy enough to repent? Yep. He says, do it anyway. Do it anyway. The Holy Spirit continues to encourage us. He loves us, and He will do as He has promised. We can have hope in God because of the nature of His love. What is God's nature? God's nature is love. It's who He is. It's what He does. That's what He does. Faith, hope, and love all combined to give you and I, the believer, patience in the trials of life. Anybody ever told you don't pray for patience? Pray for patience. Do it. You need to learn it. You need to learn how to be patient, because there's going to be plenty of folk that come along that will try your patience. And I'll tell you something, if you can control and be patient, you can minister to anybody. Be patient in the trials of life. And patience, while we're on the subject, makes it possible for believers to grow in character and become mature children of God. Amen? Anybody remember when they were 13, 14 years old? Oh, I cannot wait until I am 16 years old to get my driver's license. I can't wait until I'm 18 years old so that I can do whatever else you can do at 18. I can't wait till I'm 21. And we all know why. And now we're 60 and we're like, I would give anything to go back being 30. Right? We just need to be happy where we're at, in what stage of life we're in. Listen, I wouldn't want to go back and be start over at this in this culture. I'm just saying that. I'm done. Patience makes it possible to grow in character. How many of you know we need to grow in character? God's church needs to take on the character of God. We need to become mature children of God. James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4 says this, my brethren, he's talking to us, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, it's not our nature to endure. How many of you know that? I'd just soon give up. It's not our nature to endure. Listen, when it comes to trials, we'd rather escape, we'd rather explain things away, or just exit the difficulty altogether. The fact of the matter is, we will tend to do almost anything to avoid enduring a trial. And cry through the whole experience. Faith, faithful endurance generates whole people. Faithful endurance generates whole people recognized as strong in character or mature. Mature, when you see in Scripture where it says, be perfect as I am perfect, he's talking not about perfection, as we describe again the word perfection. It's talking about us becoming mature in Christ. And so he's asking us, he's saying that if we will faithfully endure, it will generate a whole people. W-H-O-L-E, not H-O-L-E. We're not going to be living in foxholes. We're going to be on the front line doing battle for the kingdom. He wants to make us whole people, strong in character. You and I will be seasoned. We will be experienced. We will be well developed. We will be fit for the tasks that God sent unto us in this world to do. Every one of us have a job to do in this place. My battery died. I'll say it again just because in case somebody might have missed it. God has sent us into this world to do something. You didn't just get saved just so you have a place to go on Sunday. God has saved us and set us free and put His Spirit inside of us to go and make disciples of the world. That's what He's called us to do. Seasoned, experienced, and well-developed. This strength is a quality that is developed by how much we have learned from the trials we've experienced. How many of you know you learn something when you go through some things? When you walk through the fire, you come out on the other side having learned a few things. We're also ready for anything because we have been fully trained. The weaknesses and the imperfections that are being removed from our character, we're gaining victory over old sins, and we're demonstrating a sense of competence about life. I'm beginning to understand. There's things that happen that I didn't understand when they first started happening. But now when it shows up, I understand exactly what it is. I know what exactly is behind that, and I ain't going there. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm not going through that. I'm not doing it. Our character is to be an imitator of Christ and to walk in His ways. This song that I brought to the team this morning, Make Me New. Listen, that's where we're at, church. I think that's why the Lord put that in my heart this morning at 3:30 in the morning. Make me new, Lord Jesus. It just seems like there's so many ways, God, that I'm not enough like You. God, would You just help me one more time? Make my character, make me become an imitator of Christ Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to walk in His way. Take this weary vessel that I've made. You're the potter. I'm the clay. Mash me back down on Your potter's wheel, God, and get the wheel spinning again. Begin to mold me and begin to make me. Begin to shape me. Mold me once again. God, change my heart. In the Old Testament, you said that the heart is wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? That a heart is stony and it is hard. God, make me a heart of flesh again, soft and pliable and compassionate and loving and understanding. Change my heart. Lord, my spirit has been so dirtied by the things of this world. Change my heart. Cleanse my spirit. God, make me new. Make me new. God, the only way this morning, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the only way that I know for us to be made new is to come to the cross. To be washed in the blood. To be filled with the Spirit of God. To be cleansed according to His Word from all unrighteousness. Was this song for you this morning? Make me new. Seems in so many ways, Lord, I'm just not enough like you. Take this weary vessel. Are you tired of fighting a fruitless battle? Take this weary vessel that I've... Lord, mold me. Once again, change my heart. Do you need a heart change this morning? Do you need God to begin to tweak some things in your heart? Rearrange some things, redirect some things. God, cleanse my spirit. Let me know. Maybe you're here this morning and something that has been said here has ministered to you in one way or another. Maybe you're here today and you say, Preacher, I don't even know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't know where to do it. And I don't know when to do it. Well, I can answer that question for you. You can do it right now, right here. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today's your day. Joshua said in chapter 24, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if you've never accepted Jesus, today's your day. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Say, Preacher, I've never accepted the Lord before, but I want to. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody? Preacher, that's me. Maybe you've walked with the Lord. Life happened. You veered off course. Maybe you got lost at sea. I don't know. But one way or another, you find yourself adrift. Either lost in the desert, lost at sea, lost in the woods. But today you're saying, Preacher, I want to be reunited. I want to be reunited. Here in our very own community, just a few weeks ago, a man was lost up by Twin Lakes. Everybody was searching for him. Some gave up hope. I'm sure that through this ordeal, he had probably thought of his own life, thought of his family, thought about the things that he would never see again. But yet, miraculously, after 14 days, 17 days, excuse me, 17 days, he was rescued, restored to his family. What a reunion that had to be. There were tears. There was laughter. I can't think of a more fitting thing for us today, because you are lost without Christ. And today, he said, I'll leave the 99 and go after the one. And when the one gets returned, the Bible says that there is rejoicing. Are you here today? Do you sense the need to recommit, rededicate your life to Jesus Christ? If that's you, raise your hand. Yep, I see that hand. Somebody else. Say, yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Somebody else. Say, Preacher, that's me. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Somebody else. Preacher, that's me. This is what he's about. This is what God's Word is about. This is what pleases God. Those that were lost are found. The blind can now see. Anybody else before I move on? Say, Preacher, that's me. I want to rededicate my life. Maybe you've never established a relationship. Maybe you're watching today by way of the internet and you're at home and you're by yourself, but your hand's up. I'm going to pray in just a moment with these that have raised their hand, and you'll pray with us. You can be just as saved sitting in your house as you can sitting in this church. Anybody else before I move on? If you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to come right here to the front. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, get up here. Casey, right here. Right there. How you doing? How you doing, young man? Good to see you this morning. Casey, bless you, buddy. I can't tell you how many times I've come to the altar. I can't tell you how many times I've recommitted, rededicated my life to Jesus. But I can tell you this. He's heard me and He saw me every time I've done it. Sometimes we just have to keep on keeping on. And today, listen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. You believe that? Everything in our past, when we confess it, the Bible says when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us. He said that He casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. He didn't say, I cast your sins as far as the north is from the south. And there's a reason for it. Because if you go get on the freeway right now and head north, if you just can keep driving and keep driving, before long, you're going to be going south. So north and south intersect. East and west don't. If you take off east and go east by your compass, you'll always be going east. You'll never be going west. You might end up in the west from someone's point of view, but you'll always be traveling east. He said, I cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. Buddy, that's a long way. Amen? And when the Bible says that we've been justified, it's just as if it never happened. Woo! Glory. Yay! Amen? Is that good? Is that all right? Pray this prayer with me, will you? Say, Dear Lord, I thank You for this day. Hold everything. Those are my friends. It's actually a truck procession for Sid Schuyler that passed away a couple weeks ago, and so that's what that is. Don't let that bother you. Well, what does bother me is I want you, do you understand there's a difference between declaring something and just giving voice to something? Do you understand that? To declare something means I'm declaring it. And so I want you to declare today what we're doing here. Say, Dear Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I will serve You from this day forward. Help me to persevere. Help me to be patient. Help me to grow in You. And I thank You for this day that my name is recorded in heaven. And I'm Yours. I've been marked. I've been branded by Your Holy Spirit who now lives in me. Guide me. Direct me all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. Come on, man. Woo! High five, buddy. God bless you. Give me a five, buddy. Bless you, young lady. Oh, my. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. Amen. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these lives. Let somebody minister to you before you get away. Let them minister to you. Lord, I pray, God, that what you've done, your word has gone forth, I pray that it would be sealed in our hearts. God, that we would leave here compelled by your Holy Spirit to voice who we are and to be a beacon in the dark. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Thanks for watching today. God bless you.